chapter 3. While you're going to Habakkuk chapter 3, take your Bibles, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Tonight is a little bit different, attitude in the church. So while you're finding Habakkuk, we're going to go to James chapter 1 and we're going to go to James chapter 3. But have y'all ever, I'm very sports-minded, I guess you would say. And maybe you've got other places where you draw your analogies from. Mine is very sports. I've been playing sports since I was little. Basketball was my first love, and then football, and then I tried to play some softball because when you get to a certain age, all the other sports are kind of less than. We play basketball here, and it's probably cost me more in medical bills than I want to talk about since I've been old enough. So is there anybody in here, do you want to be a better believer? Let's just say it this way. Do you want to be a better follower, believer, Christian this year than you were last year, 2023? Do you really? Now you might want to take your, if you do take notes, make a note right here, and this way if we come back, you know, in a few months, and you're not a better believer, let's just call it Christian, and you're not a better Christian, and you come to the altar and say, God, I was lying on 10/16/22, all right? I was just saying it. I didn't really want to do different. Amen? When I first came here, I said, do we want to grow? And everybody's like, yes. You know what it takes to grow? You got to fail to grow. Do you know that? To grow in anything, you got to fail. To get stronger, you got to fail. So what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of look at the Scripture and we're going to try to find our weakness. I don't think anybody in this room right now, it's Sunday night crowd, I don't believe anybody will have to waste too much time knowing what your weakness is. Knowing where your adversary attacks you. Amen? Or where you mess up, where you fail. I know exactly where the enemy or my adversary attacks me a lot of times, or most of the time. If you'll go to football practices and stuff like that, you'll be known for what you're known, or a basketball, you know what kind of team you are. You're a run-and-gun team, you're a defensive team, whatever the case may be. Right now, we're going to be a very offensive-minded church. We're going to go out and reach as many people as we can with the gospel. We're going to get involved in people's lives. But while we do that, we have to learn some fundamentals, right? If you go watch a team practice, you'll see them do things, and you'll say, man, why are they doing that? One of my favorite ones is when you watch on a video of running backs or people who carry the ball, wide receivers, and people like that. What they'll do is when they have the ball, they'll tuck it, and they'll kind of tuck it in there and hold it, and somebody goes running beside them just trying to what? Pull the ball out, right? The whole time. You say, why do they have a coach who his whole job is to run alongside of a player and pull and hit and beat on this ball for 30 yards? Does anybody want to take a stab at that one? Because in the game, guess what? There's going to be 11 other players on the other side, and all they're going to do is try to pull that ball away. And you know what? That player's going to be used to it because in practice, that's all they do, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to try to find what the enemy's going to try to do to us to take away from us being victorious through Christ. So we're going to try to figure this out. So let's get into it. We're going to go to an extreme, and I listed this like my adversary or how I get adversity in my life, small, medium, and large, because you're not going to get there overnight. When we go to Habakkuk, we're going to go to somebody who's big time. They're operating on a big level, right? Big level. How do you get to operate on that big level? You got to do the small things. You got to be able to operate on the small and then the medium and the large level of faith. Amen? So let's look at this. James, a servant of God. This is James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Here's the hard part. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into a diverse group of trials. Make a note right there. I want you to make a note. If you are going through trials, you're supposed to count that joy, because that is going to start bringing up your humanity, your flaws, for that to be exposed to God and to you, and Lord help us, a few other people. Amen? Hopefully it's a few, could be a bunch, but a few other people. And what we're supposed to do with that is we're supposed to watch that. We're supposed to learn from that. And we're supposed to say, this same trial, this same test, this same thing's going to happen multiple times until I get better at it. Guys, our whole Christian walk, when we get through one area of trial, we're going to find another one. We get one through area of trial, we're going to find another one. It's a lifelong work. You should be willing to, I'm willing to get better, I'm willing to grow, I'm willing to understand who I am, to help myself, to help the gospel reach as many people as we can. Many times we lose people that are closest to us because they watch us interact through our trials. You might want to take a note right there. People are watching you on how you deal with trials in your faith. Amen? Then you get a burden for these same people. Maybe you work with them. Maybe you live with them. Maybe you're best friends. Well, I don't know what the case may be. You know I don't. And then all of a sudden, you get a burden for them and their soul. And what they're doing is they're watching you go through a trial of your faith. And they go, wait a minute. And it shouldn't be that way, but maybe they're saying, hey, this gives me pause, because you won't take that to God, but you want me to take my soul to God. Is that all right? Hey, this is school tonight. I know, I can already feel it. This is school. This is school for me. Sometimes we got to go to school and we got to say, hey, I used to hate Monday basketball practice. Coach, he never called me by my first name. See yourself right here, Shelton? Do you see it? Do you see it, Shelton? Do you see it? You're not playing defense right there. You're being lazy right there. You're walking right there. I'm like, yeah, I see it. And eight other players see it, Coach. I see it. You know why? Because next Friday we're going to play somebody else. And we got to correct this, right? So we got to do the same thing. So we're going to fall into trial. So let's go to the one area that if you don't want to, I don't know what my problem is. I'll tell you what one of them is. It's mine too. Let's go to James chapter 3 and verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. Let's just right here. For in many things we stumble. Is that a better word? That word right there is kind of hard when we offend all. In many things we stumble. We stumble in a lot of areas sometimes, right? It would be good right here if you want to be real big right here, real mature in this area. For in many things we offend all. If any things we offend not in word. Right here, write down the thing that your adversary, you struggle with the most right there. Right here, just in mental or on a piece of paper. Say right here, I know exactly what this is. Amen? All right? I know this is where the adversary attacks me the most. Right? And then I love what James says right here by way of the Holy Spirit. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. You know what he's saying? Most of the time when we're getting attacked by the adversary, our first number one response is what? A verbal one. Amen. Not always the case. There's some of you in this room, you might not be a verbal person. Yours might be the opposite. You might be ice cold. Amen? You might give somebody the lockout treatment. I don't know who you are, but I'm just telling you right now, you shut them down, right? You get mad, you get upset, and he comes up, you turn it off. You're like, they can't get a word in edgewise because you ain't going to be talking to them. You ever dealt with somebody like that? Whew. I'd almost be yelled at and talked to than somebody that just cuts you off, amen, of talking, amen. But I want to give you this. This is a very normal situation. Is most of the time when we are tried and our we're stumbling or we're making mistakes in our lives and our spiritual walk, the first thing we do, we become verbal. Amen. We say things because we're mad and we're hurt and we're failing, and we say things to people and it hurts them. You know what the Bible says? If you're able to bridle your tongue, you stay perfect. Are you perfect? No. But do you seem perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Because perfect, the word right there, perfect and mature are going to be in synonymous. They're going to be together right here. When you become quiet instead of loud, when you become quiet instead of mad, when you be quiet instead of burning people down, tearing people down, saying the thing you need to say, maybe because you stumbled in a totally different area. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe things are not going well in your marriage, in your job, whatever it may be. However the enemy's attacking you, but you come out at this way, right? Now, some of you that are quiet, you need to work the opposite end. I don't know how that works, but you need to work off that too. But all of a sudden, you've got to work. You've got to learn how to, this is what I normally would do. And you know what? People are going to say, man, she's changed. Or, wow, he's changed because he's not doing. Now, those things can be going on in your mind, in your heart, but you and God are working through that process. Amen? You and God are working through that process. And I'm going to give you that process in a minute. It's going to blow your mind. Amen? Because Habakkuk is a very good place to look at. But here's where I struggle. I'm hyperverbal sometimes. Amen? And let me say it this way. Sometimes my words, I can choose words that are more devastating than anybody. And now that was a snappy comeback. And then I'm thinking, oh, no, that was me devastating somebody. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to be careful, amen? And sometimes it's just because you were exposed by the enemy or your adversary, and all of a sudden you do something in reaction. Are y'all good? Are we learning? I just want you to learn. I'm being honest with you. We come in here this morning was right into my, Holy Spirit, run, woo, praise God, hallelujah. I'm good with that too, but sometimes I want to look at myself and say, God, I want to fundamentally be better. I don't want to just have to be able to come in here and ride cloud nine. I want something that's tangible that you can show me that I can do and be a better believer. Amen? Because tomorrow and next month and next year, I want to be better as a believer than I am right now. I want to be able to win some people because they're expecting me to go through the same motions in areas that I go through this year, next year. Amen? The devil is planning on me operating the same next year as I am this year. I don't want to do that. Amen? I want people to go, man. And I want the devil to go, man, we can't attack him right there no more. We can't attack her there no more. We're going to have to find a new way in. Amen? Wouldn't that be nice? And wouldn't it be good not just to not to fall in the same? If we're being honest, wouldn't it be good not just to fall on your face in the same place every time? Wouldn't it be good? But like, Lisa, somebody, well, you fell over here. Well, good, it's a new place to fall. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Now this, I'm telling you, this is huge, okay? This is the large. We're not expecting tomorrow to operate in the large. Now if you do, you're an MVP, you'll do great. But we're going to try to work in the medium or the small. But here's somebody, Habakkuk, who's operating in the highest level there is. Y'all good? But you're gonna get some stuff. Some of this is going to come out, especially the back end, 18, 19. This is going to become some of your life verses here, and it's going to help you. Amen? Watch this right here. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Verse 17, y'all, am I getting your attention? Because I want your attention right here. This is not random. This ain't this whoopsie-doopsie, you know what I'm saying? This is somebody who's in the fig business. All right? I'm scanning the room right here, and I'm kind of looking. I kind of draw back here. Donnie's, if y'all don't know this, Donnie, most of his life, he's been in the tomato business, right? Is that correct? Okay, he's a farmer. So if I read this to him like this, I said, although the tomato plant shall not blossom, for a whole year. That's not. You don't just say that statement and go, so what? If you're a tomato farm. Now, if you're like everybody else, you think, well, we just won't be having some tomatoes. That's all right. But to a tomato farmer, that's like, we ain't gonna have nothing. Does that make sense? So when this person in Habakkuk says this, it's a person who relies on the fig tree for life. Amen. So now what you've got to do is you've got to find what do you rely on for your life, and all of a sudden it's void. All of a sudden you're sitting there going, I don't know how I'm going to make a living. Does that make sense? Neither shall the fruit be in the vines. That's somebody who has a vineyard, who owns a vineyard. And they're looking out there and they're going, they're seeing their whole vineyard destroyed. They're seeing pestilence. They're seeing foxes. They're seeing whatever's eating up the vine. Are we getting there now? The labor of the olive shall fail. There's no olives. There's no olives being cast. And this man, listen, I mean, he's saying, when he says this, he's talking to a group of people that they make their living off of these areas. And the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. We don't know anything about a lot of that. We don't know anymore. But, I mean, this is talking about people who make a living in a whole different way than we typically do. What is he saying right there? We have nothing. We are bankrupt. We are empty. We were without. We are hungry. We are starving. My wife, my children, my family, the people work for me. It is over. Y'all good? Guys, is this huge? Is this large? This is large. This is not, I mean, pray to God. I hope we don't have to go through these things, but praise God, there is a level that we can reach with God that if everything falls apart, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Whew. Guys, it's easy when everything's going well to say, God, you're good. And it's easy to say, I believe in Jesus. But what about it when everybody, is it when God's will and my will ain't on the same line? When he's come through and he's saying, I want you to go, I want you to praise me when it's a negative. I want you to praise me when you don't get the blessing, when you don't get the healing, when you don't get the fix, when you have to go to the hospital, when you have to go to the funeral home, when you have to go where you didn't want to go. What will you say then? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I don't have anything, but I have everything. I don't have everything, but I have everything. Guys, I'm not sitting up here. I'm not begging. I'm not saying, oh, God, give me the trouble. God, go pull it on me. But I am telling you this. If I know anything about life, there are small, medium, and large troubles in life. And if we stick around long enough, we're going to face all of them. And when it boils right down to it, you're going to have to be able to look to God and say, God, I will joy. I'm glad the word's joy and not happy. Because, praise God, I ain't always happy as a Christian. But joy is deep. Joy says, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated, I'm aggravated, I don't understand it, I don't know how. And I'd love to be so spiritual, sit here and go, yeah, well, praise God, it's just going to work out. So, hey, my human side would be sitting like, yeah, but I still like to eat. I still like to be able to say, hey, kids, get you a night's sleep. Amen? But even in that, I could say, hey, God's good. God's faithful. He saved us. Amen? He saved us. Amen? We ain't better than nobody else. This is the only place in Christianity, this place, America is one of the few places in America in Christianity that we can all just think we expect a certain level of life. There are people out there who are just struggling to make it. Like they're a good day rarely comes. and they still trust God. Amen? Could you imagine if most of us, we went like this, we told our family, hey, I come to faith in Jesus Christ. Most of our families went, man, praise God, that's answered prayer. Could you imagine if you went to your family and said, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I came to faith, and they say, you are excommunicated, get out of our family and never come back. You're dead to us. And every kind of help you can get is off the table from us. And you have to totally go rely on strangers for everything. But ultimately, you're going to be relying on God. Guys, I'm telling you, this is high-level stuff. I know it is. Because I'm being honest with you. I'm trying to work on when something comes against me just to hurt me a little bit, I'm trying to work on that because one day when this happens, I want to be able to say, God's good in my salvation. Because I know it's coming. I might just get my feelings hurt. I might just have somebody walk out on me. I might have somebody reject me. I might have somebody who I thought was for me and is against me. And that happens. It's okay. Life happens. But I don't want to go on defending myself. I don't want to go on fighting. I don't want to go on wrestling with that. I just want to be able to say, well, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? I pray for them. I hope they go and find a great place to serve God. But I'm going to serve God where I'm at too. Because that's the lowest level. Amen? That's the lowest level. But it's still a level. There's still people watching us on how we handle our everyday things. Guys, your kids are paying attention. Your spouse, your coworkers, people you go to school with, they're watching you. And they see how you handle any kind of adversity. And they want to hear, you've told them about Jesus when everything's well. They want to see what happens when you get shook. They want to see what happens when life throws you the bad stuff. Man, sometimes we fail just at a restaurant. Sometimes we fail in traffic. Amen? We're talking about Jesus. We're praising God. We might even have Christian radio on in the vehicle, but praise God, them ears in the back seat is hearing something other than Jesus when somebody just cuts you off. Wow, Dad. And we're doing that? We're doing that right now, Dad? I thought we was just talking about church 15 minutes ago. And y'all think I'm preaching to you? I'm preaching to myself. This guy cut me off, done something, blowed up, hit his brakes. I followed him for two exits. Where my exit? Peyton Lee, well, where are we going? I'm preaching now. Y'all are paying attention. When you thought it was you, he wasn't interested. But now you're like, hey, what's the preacher doing? I followed him for two exits. We were supposed to get off an exit or two ago. Peyton's like, where are we going, Dad? I said, that guy right there. He wanted to bow up in front of me, trying to wreck me. We'll see. We'll see what, Dad? What, are we going to pray for him? We're going to lay hands on him. Then we'll pray for him. Turn off. Pull over, apologize to God, apologize to my son. What are we doing? That's a failed test. That's a failed test. We failed. Because we've talked about how good God is and how awesome God is, and we just can't handle one bad thing to happen to us. We can't handle the fruit trees failed, no ox in the stall, cars quit. Plants laid off. They've downsized. How are we going to handle that if we can't handle somebody just talking bad about us? What are we going to do then? Are we going to come home? Then we're going to try to tell them, hey, well, you need to come to church. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come do what I'm doing. Why? You don't have, the first sign of adversity, you fall apart. I know this message hits harder, don't it? There's a fun side to it, but there's also this wonderful side that, hey, we need to, what we're preaching needs to be practiced. Man, I guarantee you, there's a lot of kids and a lot of homes who would have got saved, would be on fire for the Lord Jesus if they could just see their mom and dad treat each other the right way. Have they ever even heard you pray for your spouse? Have they even heard you say a kind word out of the Scripture to them? Man, we wonder, you know, Jewish parents will never curse their children. They will never curse their children. They'll never say, these words would never come out of a Jewish parent's home. You'll never be anything. They tell them the opposite. You're going to be the richest people in the world. You're stupid. No, they don't. You are the smartest people on the face of the planet. You know what's wrong with our kids? We've told them so many things that the world's going to tell them instead of what the Word of God tells them. Amen? Man, I can have altar call myself. Man, I thought this message was going to be medicine for y'all. I feel like I've ate 4 pounds of castor oil. Another scoop, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Put this down. You might want to write that down. I know we covered this verse already, but your salvation is more valuable than anything you have. Let me go a step further. It's more valuable than anything this world has to offer. If you've got salvation and everything else in your life's failed, you're still victorious. You're still a winner. Amen? We know the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus laid outside the gate begging, dogs licking his sores. I mean, his whole life victorious. Amen? Why? Because the day he drew his last breath, where was he? He said, I'm a winner. I knew Jesus from the day. There was a bad day, but guess what? That day's over. Now we're into eternity. If we're going into eternity, we really need to check up. We need to act like it. Praise God. There ain't a whole lot this world needs to be able to do to us that we can't look at Jesus and compare it and go, this short time trial, this short term suffering compared to the long term gain is nothing. Y'all ready for the verse? Y'all ready for your life verse? Because I love this right here. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me walk upon the high places. The chief singer on my stringed instruments. My gosh. I ain't going to lie to you. Love when God moves a mountain. Do. I love when God takes a mountain and moves it out of the way. But you know what I have found? Sometimes you'll be looking up at mountain, you'll be like, all right, God, move it. Cast this mountain into the sea. And God will say, nope. Change your footwear. It's leg day. I'll say it again. Change your footwear. It's leg day. If you've ever worked out one time in your life, if you ever even thought about going to the gym one time in your life, I can guarantee you, you never thought. Here's the day. You got Monday is National Chest Day. If you've ever been to a gym anywhere in America, on Monday, if you go to work out, you'll not get a bench press anywhere because Monday, everybody's doing chest. Amen? That's just normal. Amen? Tuesday, shoulders. Wednesday, back. Thursday, arms. Friday, legs. Also known as, we're not going to the gym on Friday. We'll go to lunch and we'll skip Friday. Why? Because Friday's leg day. Golly bum. Nobody wants to do legs because it hurts. Legs hurt. They don't hurt the day of. They don't hurt the day after. It's the third day. When you're like, hey, I'm walking like a baby giraffe. I can't stand up. I can't carry my own weight. I can't squat down and get back up. That's leg day. You hear me? But guess what God says? Leg day's every day for me. Sometimes I'll put things in your life that I'm not going to get you out of. I'm going to get you up and over. I'm going to teach you to climb on the things that the enemy told was going to kill you. You're going to become an expert in going places and doing things that the enemy said was going to kill you and destroy you, and it used to ruin you, but now you're standing in the places that now the enemy's going, how did they get up there? Because you know what you said? God, you don't have to get me out of the trouble every time. Just give me the ability to go through it. Make my feet like hinds' feet. And let me climb. Amen? And listen, guys, You got to learn how to stand in places when you don't feel like standing. You're going to have to feel like going up a little bit higher when you don't feel like going up, when it's easier just where we could just sit right here. But what's this thing say? It says right here, to walk upon mine high place. He wants you to get to the very top. Amen. He wants you to get to the highest level that you can be. And I'm not sitting here talking about some weird, ooky, spooky religion. I'm talking about this. He wants you to be the best believer you can be. He wants to get the most potential out of your life that he can. He wants you to be able to stand through the fiery darts and trials of this life. He wants you to be, we read the book of Daniel. Of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We read those, but that's all he did. They, whether God delivers or not, amen, we're not going to bow down and worship. And if you cast us in there, if he delivers, great. If he don't, but he's still God. Then I love, bless you. And then I love this right here. When they told Daniel, they said, here's a new ordinance. You can do anything you want to do, but you can't pray to another God. You can't pray in another name other than the king. You know what he did? He went and opened up all the windows to his house. He said, I'm not going to. Then he prayed where he always prayed with the windows open. He's like, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Amen? We just got to get to that place, man. When we find, and listen, guys, I'm here's where I'm going to end. You know you. And you know your adversity. You know what you struggle at. It's time for you to hire you somebody who's going to be digging at that, trying to pull that out every time where it doesn't come out when it matters most. Amen? Where I remember talking about that running back or that guy running with the ball. They pull on that and pull on that during practice, and they might get that thing out of there every once in a while. You know why? Where they won't get it out of there on Saturday night or Friday night. Or Sunday, whenever the game's being played. Amen? We can mess up when we're trying to get better. But when we're out there in front of the world, we want to be able to hold on to what we have. Does that make sense to you? Guys, I want to be better. I want to be a better believer. I don't want to keep messing up and stumbling and failing in the same areas this next year than I am this year. I want the enemy to have to rewrite the playbook. Man, on Kevin, we used to be able to do this, this, and this, or get him every time. We're going to have to try to something else. Amen? We're going to have to try something else. And when you find that, go to work on it. Amen? You know what happens when you're working for others, reaching out in the community, doing work for other people, and working on yourself? You have less opportunity to fall back into sin. Amen? Because that's what the ultimate goal for the enemy is for you to fall back in to an old rut of sin and never get out. Let's all stand. Whew. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I tell you, I feel like I've been to school. I want to apologize to some of you. I hated school. Hey, man, I did. It was tough. But if you ever learned anything in school, you'll be proud of yourself. Amen? I learned two or three things while I was in school. I got a little French under my belt. Je m'appelle Kevin. I failed French, but I got a couple of phrases out there. Amen. All right. Good to be in the house. If you talk too much, you'll lose me. All right. Good to be in the house, Lord. Remember, work on these deficiencies. Work on where the adversary works on you, where your adversity is biggest. Work on that. Get to those different levels. That way, when life really does happen, you're praising God, and God's using you for his honor and glory. Let's pray and we'll have dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come in here tonight and really learn something that's basic. It seems small, but it's not. It works in every area of our lives. God, we want to be better for you, for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom. So when we're out here in the world, we're not stumbling and falling and making a mess of what you've done in our lives. God, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to stand and preach the word unto these folks tonight. Lord, let it apply to their life. Lord, we pray for the ones that are sick. We pray for the ones that have cancer. We pray for the ones that are going through the valley of death itself. Lord God, we pray. We pray for the ones that are healing after surgeries. Lord, we pray for them. We just pray right now, God. You be with our youth program across the street, be in this service here. Lord, let people be changed by the Holy Spirit of God. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Come back.